Welcome to another episode of The Brand Called You, a podcast and podcast show that brings you leadership lessons, knowledge, experience, and wisdom from thousands of successful individuals from around the world. I'm your host, Ashutosh Garg, and today I'm privileged to welcome a very, very senior professional from Oregon, USA, Mr. David Gersdorf. David, welcome to the show.
Oh, it's a pleasure to be here, Ash. Well, I'm grateful and honored to be a part of your movement.
Thank you.
So very impressed at the person that you are, the impact that you have. I understand the commitment and the contribution, and just my honor to be a part of it.
Thank you for your kind words. David is the president of Gersdorf Group LLC. He's the founder of Global Voyages Group, and he's an author. And all of you know I'm very partial to authors. He's an author of a book titled Hard Ships: Navigating Your Company, Career, and Life Through the Fog of Disruption. And we'll talk about that.
Absolutely.
So David, let's start by asking you a question about your own journey from the travel industry to a board advisor.
It's an unusual journey, not a traditional journey. I was born in the frontier of Alaska and raised by a single parent. My father, a very energetic and passionate entrepreneur. His initial career was in the airline business, helping to build what's now a very famous airline, Alaska Airlines. And it extended his entrepreneurial drive, caused him to form a tourism business in Alaska. He left the airline, started a tourism business. And I was 13 at the time. I went to work in the business in every way that I could from day one. And by the time I was 18, I was fully engaged. We built quite a good sized business, bootstrapped, many, many hard lessons and times. But we believed in what we called the real Alaska, authentic experiences. When people would think of Alaska and the frontier and the wilderness and the wildlife and the native cultures, what they would imagine. We worked very hard to make accessible. We took big risks to create the infrastructure necessary to make journeys safe and comfortable and affordable to above the Arctic Circle, to the Arctic communities, out to the Pribilof Islands on the remote Aleutian chain.
Wow.
Glacier Bay National Park, which we owned and operated the concession there for many, many years. And then we got into building small cruise ships that could do the same thing from the water. Less than 100 people, cruising special worlds the big ships can't. And we spread out into many destinations around the world with our concept of small ship cruising. And then we sold our family business to a much larger travel conglomerate. And I was catapulted at a very young professional age, 30, into the beginnings of the global cruise industry.
Okay.
Where I went to work for a company owned by Carnival Corporation, very famous, you know, leader in cruising worldwide, not just Carnival brand, but all the nine brands of Carnival Corporation. And I worked in a premium brand called Holland American Line. And also ran a very special boutique brand called Windstar Cruises.
Yep, I've heard of that.
Yes. I was twice I was the president of Windstar Cruises.
Amazing.
Executive VP of Holland American Line, responsible for global planning, product development, distribution, marketing, revenue, you know, nearly $1.5 billion annual responsibility. So what you're hearing is a combination of entrepreneurial, bootstrap, privately held, how are we going to make the payroll tomorrow, to the largest, most profitable, most disciplined, most tightly run, publicly traded enterprises. And in my career since, I've done more of both, and in between with private equity owned companies, mergers and acquisitions in the industry. And alike. So I think it's that unique background and perspective I have of the strength of will of an entrepreneur and the creativity of an entrepreneur combined with the financial realities, the structure, the leadership requirements, you know, of a larger corporate setting. And those two things together make me, and together with the gray hairs now, a valued asset and advisor in many, many situations.
Absolutely. And my goodness, what an amazing journey you've had from the time you were 13. That's quite incredible. But are you still associated with the cruise business?
Indeed, I in several ways. I am a advisor in the industry. I get called in regularly on very special projects, on challenging situations and projects, and sometimes even as an acting CEO or president during an interim change. Or during, like I said, acquisitions and mergers and change. I'm known for creative problem solving, for change management capabilities, and I've kept myself flexible to do the types of things that I enjoy doing with the
quite amazing
team of people that I enjoy working with.
Quite amazing. But David, I'd love to get your perspective. You know, the cruise business seems to have been the most severely impacted by the pandemic.
Indeed.
What are your thoughts about the future?
So also,
I beg your pardon?
I was going to say, and unfairly. So.
Absolutely. I agree. And cruising is one of me and my family's favorite holiday opportunities. Wow. So,
mine too. That's good.
Absolutely.
So here's the thing. The cruise industry is an industry, and when we talk about my book, I mean, 40 years of being in an industry that has been exposed to disruptions of all types, economic, SARS, the Gulf War, there's been many, many disruptions along the way in the growth of this global industry. And yet the industry has learned how to absorb those events, how to learn from them, and how to not only continue going forward, but to continue to grow and innovate. And innovate's a key word to the whole ability to go forward in a change. So I'm very proud of the industry. I spent 40 years being exposed and being a leader in these events. And it taught me a lot about resilience and again, determination. And it is an industry that's quite determined. It did, in the early stages of the pandemic, make many adjustments as it's well used to doing, to move the ships, to implement additional higher level safety protocols ashore and aboard, testing, all of those things. But ultimately, health authorities worldwide, because cruise ships could be controlled, it's one of the few points where you could control the pandemic in many regulators' minds.
Yes.
The cruise industry actually voluntarily shut down, not knowing for how long. You know, we thought maybe 3 months. It was a significant shutdown of near a year, maybe longer for some.
Yeah.
And impactful, like no one could have imagined, and in a level the industry's never seen. Tens of billions of dollars had to be raised through stock offerings, through debt, to stay afloat while going nowhere. And then to cautiously come out of that holding pattern to begin operating again. And to ensure that there would not be another pandemic disruption or other type of disruption that would shut down again, because that would have been, you know, a death blow, probably.
I agree.
Given how impacted the industry was at the time. But today, we have an industry that's, you know, 2023 will be a banner year.
Amazing.
For the cruise industry. People have returned to the great value and satisfaction, excitement that they have with cruising. The cruise line industry has transformed. What the cruise line in 2023 is quite different from the one in 2020 going, you know, free and into the pandemic. Quite different in many ways.
Very interesting. And when you look at, you know, and I've been on two or three cruises in these big ships. When I talk to the hotel operators, everyone's talking about young travelers, older travelers seeking experiences. I know the ships give or cruises give phenomenal experiences, but do you see any transition taking place in how the tourism industry will be given even more value by the cruises?
Absolutely. The word experiences has become accelerated as a result of the pandemic.
Correct.
People gained a greater appreciation for what's important in life, for their connections and relationships, and for the things they really value, learning, experiencing and visiting new places and enjoying life more. I think there's a greater determination to enjoy life more. And that will last with us going forward. So this focus on experiences is clear to the travel and tourism industry. It's been an industry that's all about delivering experiences in the first place, but the dial has been turned up. So, and also I have to say, technology has enabled the delivery experiences on two sides. Mm-hmm. Number one, for the individual traveler to better personalize their choice and their approach and how to have a voyage of one instead of a voyage of 5,000. It's really important. And the second thing, so that's for the guest. For the cruise industry, technology has removed friction in delivering the guest experience. Biometrics, keyless door locks, for Carnival Corporation, the Ocean Medallion, which a guest wears on board, and their preferences for drinks, payment for anything, it's an amazing thing the way the companies and the guests have really, in a way, partnered in delivering a better experience for all. And I think there's so much more to come with augmented reality and everything else.
So for someone who's, started at the age of 13, which by today's terms would be a Gen Alpha in those days, to a situation where I think you and I are both baby boomers, but from a situation where guests have been coming over the years in cruising, millennials and Gen Zs have their own expectations. So my question to you, David, is who do you see as the guest of the future?
Well, we're still going to have a situation of multi-generational guests at the same time.
Absolutely.
Right, traveling for different reasons and possibly in different styles. But the guest of the future is more the same, but with a deeper desire to experience, to have authentic discoveries, to learn something new, to contribute as they go, to participate in sustainable practices in tourism, and to hold travel companies and cruise lines accountable for those practices. The millennials especially bring a passion and a demand for accountability around such issues as the environment and sustainability. It's their future. And brands are smart to listen and to adapt and to make clear their practices and efforts in those areas.
Fascinating. So David, let's talk about your book now. Your book is titled Hard Ships, Navigating Your Company, Career and Life Through the Fog of Disruption. And before I talk to you about the book, I'm assuming it's available on Amazon.
Yes.
Okay. So I'm going to ask all our viewers and listeners to go and check out Mr. David Gersdorf's book on Amazon. I'll go and check it out myself. But David, tell me about your book and what was your hypothesis when you decided to write it?
You know, I have journaled all of my adult life. Mm-hmm. I have a closet behind me full of mm-hmm. beautiful journals, handmade by myself and mm-hmm. written in with great care and thoughtfulness, I think. Mm-hmm. And so I've recorded my family life, my career, my professional life over the years. And when I had the idea of hardships several years ago as a, you know, as a playbook, mm-hmm. My playbook based on my unique life experiences, mm-hmm. that I wanted to contribute those lessons and protocols to others, you know. And it's not just the cruise industry experience that I've had. I've built a large marketing service company, which sold to a public company. Done a lot of different things along the way where I've learned a lot of lessons. So the idea was, you know, to share the experience. Everybody talks about success. Mm. You know, success book after six, you know, playbook after playbook of how to be successful.
Correct. Okay?
Few people talk about the reality of business and life,
yep.
which is it's not always smooth. Mm. In fact, it's increasingly being disrupted by change of all types in all areas.
Yep.
And it's impactful, not just on the company we own or work at, mm-hmm. but on our career and on our life at home. That's the truth. Mm. That was my experience over time. So I used my journals to organize, you know, the experiences I had, the lessons I learned, and as I and through time, I developed my way mm-hmm. of dealing with change mm-hmm. and advising others through change. So that's hardships. It's really my playbook mm-hmm. for navigating disruption and change.
Yep.
And I would say the key lesson, the key hypotheses of the book, mm-hmm. disruption coexists mm-hmm. with opportunity.
Yeah.
Coexists with mm-hmm. opportunity. And it's critical, mm-hmm. No matter the disruption, the impact, the fear, the anxiety, the inconvenience of it all. Mm-hmm. There is opportunity on the edges. And it's the wise person who lifts up their gaze from the problem at hand mm-hmm. for a moment mm-hmm. and looks to those edges to see what's emerging, what's developing. Because when you partner with that future, that partnership will pull you forward out of disruption mm. much more quickly and more successfully than fighting the change.
How interesting.
Hypotheses, key life lesson. And so, you know, around that, I provided six protocols and a set of tools mm. within each of these six protocols to help organize. And they're in exactly the order I believe are necessary for working your way through disruptions. Mm. And plus one mindset.
Would you like to talk a little bit about your six protocols and your?
I'd be happy to. Yeah, but I want to say that implementing the six protocols requires a certain mindset.
Absolutely.
In disruption.
Yep.
I accept what's difficult. I call it the endurance mindset because I'm an endurance athlete. I'm a multi-Ironman, etc.
Wow.
So
okay.
You learn a lot of lessons. Mm. You know, pushing yourself to the extremes and training to that level of discipline. So I feel the endurance mindset's an important part of all this. Mm-hmm. So the very first and most important protocol of all, protocol one, know mm-hmm. your waypoint. Mm-hmm. I call that the reality check. Something has happened. Something mm-hmm. has changed. You know, there's different types of disruption, mm-hmm. a slow disruption that occurs over time and suddenly you realize things are changing, the sands are moving, mm. or a sudden jolt, you know, boom, immediate, huge impact. We've all seen each of those types of disruption,
okay.
but it's important in disruption to accept that it's occurring and to seek the truth as a leader, especially to seek the truth as quickly as possible. Because here's the thing, we're hard drivers. We have a goal.
Yeah.
We pursue that goal. You know, we're inflexible, you know, in achieving those goals.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, when disruption and change emerges, that can work against you. It can slow down your awareness of the reality. It can cause you to take the wrong actions at the wrong time. So for me, Know Your Waypoint is really about the truth, getting all the bad news to the surface, and transparency, open communications. There's people around you who don't want things to change. They want you to change things. So they won't always give you the truth.
Correct.
You know, it's really important as a leader to realize you are responsible for getting to the truth as quickly and accurately and eyes wide open as possible. Protocol number one, you know, type of disruption we're dealing with, what's our momentum at the moment? Where is this headed? The second thing is people often think that identify your first, what's the next action would be the next thing once you know the truth. No, it's not. I say the next thing to do is take a moment and reflect. How do I stay afloat? Because if I'm going to take actions in response to this disruption, those may take a while.
Yeah.
They may be quite different.
Yeah.
And am I sure I have the necessary resources? And cash isn't always the resource. Time is a resource. Talent, people are a resource. Partnerships are a resource. It's very important to assess how am I, you know, with the necessary elements to stay afloat and for how long through this disruption. Cash is always on the list, of course, okay. Next, find your first. It's important to build your go forward strategy, your transition strategy, your response strategy around the one most important, most core principle and action in your situation. Not try to fight five fires at once. What is the one that if you don't put it out, you know, that if you handle it wrong, is going to take the whole thing down. So I always say, identify that one, you'll find it, and put it in the center.
Yeah.
So that in every action that you take, you're first considering how those actions relate to the one in the middle, the one that's key to survival, the first. You know, for the cruise industry, for a moment it was cash, capital. How do we survive as a protected shutdown? But actually, the most vital first became, how do we operate again in a way that is has minimal risk of another shutdown? That actually became the first. If you go back and study it, the efforts that went into funding science panels and research and new technologies aboard ships and new practices of all types were really about the first. Okay, we know we'll get through the disruption. We know we want to operate again. How do we make sure this can't happen again? Critical. So that, you know, so each business has a different first. And, you know, but I talk a lot about that. How do you find that first? How
Correct.
Do you, and then get flexible. Things have changed. So should you. Throw out the old playbook, be open to new ideas, listen to others, benchmark the industry and other industries that are going through similar hardship. And you know, you've got to change manage your way through, and you can't do that if you're change fighting.
Correct.
You have to change manage. You know, it requires flexibility. You have to have a learner's mind, a beginner's mind. I could tell you a lot of stories. There's great tools and examples in the book. And finally, we've gone all through all this for what purpose? To learn and become stronger and more resilient. Therefore, let's become collision proof. Okay, how do we become even less exposed, you know, and more resilient when something does happen? And for that, I see two main components, and I call it the incident response plan. Before disruption occurs, it's a good idea to have an incident response plan. Now, if you're in the data business, you may have backup centers, you know, redundancy,
yeah,
etc. But not all companies have thought through, you know, in a crisis, what is our response plan, our Correct. First line of action and response? Who is responsible for what parts of that plan? Mm. Has it been communicated? Does everybody know everyone's role? I use an example in the book when I was a young person, when my father was in the airline business, and Alaska Airlines incurred the worst aviation tragedy in mm-hmm. the history of aviation at that time. It was horrible. Mm-hmm. And I lived through that event, that emotion, that tragedy, that impact. And I saw an incident response plan in motion. It was the only thing that allows, in a highly emotional, tragic situation, people to focus and act. Otherwise, mm. you're lost in the horror of it all. Mm. You know? So an incident response plan is critical at any level of business. We all have one. Generally, we call it our last will and testament. Mm. That's a form of incident response plan.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Or our health directives, but there's more for our business.
Mm.
And the second part of it all is risk management.
Mm.
Identify, right, and mitigate risk. And each time you go through a disruption or change in that next normal, there are new risks. Your risk assessment plan is never done. You must always update it and train for it. And finally, protect your value.
Yeah. Very good.
In a disruption, people can do reactive, unfortunate things that set their companies or themselves back. You might see it in a pricing, a fire sale for a product that worked years, if not decades, to create a sense of value and establish its place in the market, and then to undermine itself in a matter of months. Undermine decades of protecting and building value.
Correct.
That's one example. You know, I just think that in the moment, it's really important to keep your eyes on the prize.
Mm.
Be confident we're going to get through this one way or another.
Mm.
You know, on the other side of it, we'll realize our value and we'll pursue our value aggressively and positively again.
Mm.
And in the meantime, we are not going to, you know, compromise. If we need to operate less capacity in order to protect price, if we have more value to maintain share, right? it's so important. And I think it's really important to understand your intrinsic value, that your proposition, what's at the core of it, you know, and to embrace and really surround that with protection. And care,
well said.
Even
well
our
said.
Personal value.
Yeah, you know, no, I think this is fantastic, you know, and we're unfortunately running out of time because I
could talk about this
endlessly. But David, on that note, and your amazing six protocols, I think what resonated with me a lot amongst all the six that you spoke about was find your first. I think that's such a powerful comment that you have made. And of course, you've got so many other things to reflect, get flexible, know your waypoint, protect your value, become political. And I love the way you have used terms out of the shipping industry in all your six protocols and throughout our conversation. Thank you, David, for speaking to me about your journey from the time you were 13 years old to building such an amazing empire in the Gearsdorf Group. Thank you for talking to me about travel, tourism, cruises. And finally, thank you for talking to me about your book, which seems to be such a fascinating read. Thank you again and good luck to you.
Such a great pleasure and good luck to you. Take care.
Thank you. Thank you for listening to The Brand Called You videocast and podcast, a platform that brings you knowledge, experience, and wisdom of hundreds of successful individuals from around the world. Do visit our website, www.tbcy.in, to watch and listen to the stories of many more individuals. You can also follow us on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Just search for The Brand Called You.